from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
120 on Tuesdays means Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing great. You know, life has been actually very good the last couple of days. So feeling very good. You know, listen, they can't all be this good, but it's been a pretty good week here.
What, I mean, look, obviously the performance was phenomenal, 34-3. The second half, they just blew doors off Clemson, dominating performance. What was your, or a couple days later, what are your sort of lingering thoughts and best memories of that win?
Well, you mentioned the third quarter, the fact that after a pretty slow start offensively, Georgia was able to kind of find that there in the third quarter. That was obviously really good. But in addition to that, you know, I would say that coming into the game, you know, me, a lot of Georgia fans, probably pretty confident about this. And look, college football can be a very difficult sport to predict, right? If you try to make a living, you know, picking these games right, obviously a lot of people have run into trouble that way. But this is one that on paper, you just looked at what Clemson has lost from a talent perspective since these two teams played previously in 2021, what it brought into the stadium on Saturday. It just seemed like, you know, Georgia had kind of found a way just to kind of collect more capable players than what Clemson had. And so I think it's one of those situations where this was an example of what I think a lot of us saw on paper did play on the field, which is, you know, Clemson's got a couple of nice defensive pieces. And Clemson, you know, will obviously be a tough out for a lot of teams here this year, but they don't belong in the same field as Georgia from an overall talent perspective. Dabo Swinney doesn't quite seem to get that, but I think it's obvious to a lot of the rest of us.
Better freshman debut, Bolden or Frazier?
Well, I thought that KJ certainly looks like a guy that's going to play a lot more this season. But Nate Frazier, man, you know, what a win for all the people who either saw a practice or know somebody who saw a practice or just sort of participate in the rumor mill. You didn't have to look very far, of course, the last couple of months to find somebody who was saying, man, this Nate Frazier has a chance to be really good. And this looks like the best running back that Georgia has brought into the program in a good number of years. At a time in which Georgia could use a little wiggle amongst its sort of, you know, skill position type guys, you know, Frazier seems to have that. So, you know, I think that Nate is going to be a very popular player with Georgia fans, because I do think that Georgia needs some kind of playmaking, kind of pop here a little bit. And I think that Frazier has a really good chance to provide that.
By the time the game kicked off on Saturday, everybody knew that ETN wasn't going to play. I don't think anybody was surprised by that. Felt like by Thursday of last week kind of was the feeling that everyone was getting. Now that that happened, what do you make of the way that all went down? When do you think ETN actually does play with the team? Does he miss another game? What do you make of that whole story?
I mean, I'm assuming he probably plays this week, but obviously Kirby Smart's not going to reveal any of that. And look, I was pretty angered by the fact that he wasn't playing, just simply from the standpoint that, you know, he wasn't guilty of DUI. He had the same legal right that everybody else does to avail himself of the court of law, and his charge was reduced. And so therefore, if the you know, like the university policy doesn't demand that he sit out, I thought it was wrong to punish ETN allegedly on the basis of somebody else's actions on this. And I think that the biggest lingering thing for me is the conventional wisdom is somebody else, whether it's university president or whatever, you know, kind of stepped in and said, this is what we think that should happen. You know, I don't love the idea of Kirby Smart not having full autonomy to make a decision like this for his football program. If that's indeed what, you know, what happened here, I don't love that. But, you know, there's also some extenuating circumstances. I guess the allegation is that ETN may have tried to flee the scene or avoid police or something like that. That probably complicates things here a little bit. I mean, ultimately, this was a game in which I believe that Georgia knew it could sit ETN and not worry too much about Clemson pulling the upset, so that's what they did. But some of the questions about who was it that made the decision, on what basis was the decision made, those are questions that kind of linger unanswered right now, but that's just sort of the way it is sometimes, I guess.
Hey, B.A., we were having some fun earlier. We were talking about Dabo and no transfer portal and all those different things. How about the Georgia transfers that came in? Both receivers, touchdown. It looked like they were trying to do their best. And they kept saying on the broadcast, of keeping Arian Smith engaged. So we got to give him the football, which is funny as hell to me, as long as he's been around. But what did you think of the receivers and the skill position players and how they performed in a game that made the big plays by the transfers?
Well, we obviously are all in the media business, so you're going to gravitate towards narratives, and that's obviously a narrative, right, that Clemson doesn't take any transfers. Georgia has a couple of transfer receivers who catch touchdowns in that third quarter, which kind of built the lead that we knew that Georgia wasn't going to give back. I mean, ultimately, the biggest difference between Clemson and Georgia is not just the transfers, though. It's
yes.
The fact that, you know, Dabo doesn't even recruit as hard as Kirby does. In addition to not taking transfers, he's not recruiting as hard as he once did either, which is, I think, probably a concern if you're a Clemson fan. But as far as, like, the impact that Colby Young makes, you know, there are a lot of moments in which I'm not a former player like you are, Randy. I mean, there's plenty of times when I don't know what to expect in the football field. But when you saw Colby Young, big, tall guy who caught touchdowns for Miami a year ago, it just seemed obvious that this could be a real red zone target for Georgia.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's exactly what he was able to be on Saturday. So it's kind of nice to sort of feel like a guy is working out like you thought he might be able to. And in the case of London Humphreys, here's what I'll tell you. You know, a lot of people didn't make too much about the fact when he came to UGA, but go back and look at the stats from a year ago. You can make a case that Humphreys was the second most productive freshman receiver in the SEC last year, playing for a Vanderbilt team that's not really on anybody's radar, understandably so. But at the same time, you know, SEC experience has some real value, and it really matters. And I think there's a chance that what we saw from Humphreys on Saturday was not sort of a one-time thing, kind of a weird anomaly. I think he's probably part of the story for the Georgia offense here this season.
The trust that Carson showed on that first pass, that dig route, I mean, the timing, because the linebacker was coming off the seam and was going to get there, the way Carson trusted him already, it was just, that was my favorite throw that he made of the day, was that not the touchdown throw, that play right there to that young man on that end route.
And I thought that Carson seemed so much more comfortable in the third quarter, second half, than he was in the first half. Now, what you attribute that to, perhaps I'm not smart enough to fully know, but I did feel like there was a very different version of Carson, you know, giving plays time to develop, mm-hmm. you know, trusting guys to make the bigger throw. It just seemed like it was just a better version of Carson for whatever reason in the second half compared to the first.
Yeah, guys get amped up, you know? I mean, even guys that have played in huge games, maybe, you know, the moment still kind of happens. But definitely the second half calmed down and played great. You mentioned it. It's a part of the conversation from a big picture standpoint in college football. Certainly not Georgia's problem. But what happens at Clemson now? Like, obviously they're still a talented team. They're not the program that they once were. They don't participate in some of the things that make other programs elite. I'm with you. I don't think transfers would have made the difference on Saturday, but it doesn't help that Georgia had a couple transfers score touchdowns and Clemson doesn't have any. What do you think the next, I don't know, year, couple years look like at Clemson as you sort of look into the crystal ball?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's really weird because from this standpoint, and I'm as hardcore of a Georgia fan as anybody can be, but when you look at Dabo's legacy, his, like, resume, it's unimpeachable. Like, it's incorruptible.
Yeah.
He won two national championships, and he went to six straight playoffs. Like if he were to retire today, he's kind of already, like, I don't want to say an all-time great, but, like, whatever, you know, he's certainly better than just a good coach. Mm. He has won a ton of games and multiple championships. That's a really big deal. But also, I have to be honest here, I don't think any of that helps him going forward. I think that Dabo's last good season is in the past. I don't think he's set up well to handle, you know, what college football requires of its coaches here right now. I don't think he seems to understand. I mean, even on Sunday night, he was talking about how he didn't think there was a huge talent gap between Georgia and Clemson. Listen, Clemson's got a couple nice pieces on defense. Moffa, the running back, I like okay. But if he really thinks there's a similar level of talent on Georgia and Clemson, then he's just lost. It's a really weird situation where Dabo's past, as dignified and distinguished as it is, I don't think it helps him any moving forward in the future. And if you're Clemson, I'm not quite so sure what you do about that, because I really think, I mean, I think they could struggle this Saturday against Appalachian State. And I think they could certainly have plenty more struggles here this season because they are just not what they once were. And Dabo either doesn't want to acknowledge that or is somehow, for some reason, incapable of acknowledging that. But I think it's going to be a rough season for Clemson.
What?
I really, you know, this idea that, you know, they're done with Georgia, now they'll get back to dominating all the ACC. I'm actually not 100% sure that's how this is going to play out. I really don't think so.
B.A., what's your thought process? Everybody, you know, this whole Florida State thing, and you said Georgia broke them and all that other stuff that people like to have fun with and everything. But
like they broke themselves.
Like broke themselves, exactly. They just do not look like a prepared football team. And do you think that all the offseason stuff with the lawsuit and all that other crap is having this effect on this team? Or is it just they're just not that team?
I mean, this is where I'm going to come across as, I guess, a little bit of an SEC homer here. But the honest truth is I do believe it's easy to dilute yourself when you're in the ACC. I think that you can convince yourself you've arrived on the scene because you're beating ACC teams. Now, Florida State's currently also beat LSU, you know, to begin the season the last couple of years. But I just think it's another example of sort of like what we said about Clemson a moment ago, where you kind of don't know what you don't know. And in the case of Mike Norvell, they brought in a bunch of transfers last year that gave him a chance to be competitive. But to this idea that they're building a long-term sustainable program, obviously that's not the case. With all due respect, I think it's fairly obvious why Alabama didn't want Norvell to be its next coach because...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The talent acquisition piece of all of this, it just doesn't seem like he fully understands that. And, you know, I don't know anybody who liked Florida State going into the Georgia Tech game week zero, and I thought they were in a little bit of a tough spot there last night. Look, we have seen DJ Uiagalelei for 2 years now. The couple of nice games he had in 2020, that's so long ago it might as well be ancient history. We saw him at Clemson in 2021, and it wasn't good. We thought a change of scenery might benefit him at Oregon State last year, and it didn't. The fact that, you know, some Florida State fans talked themselves into DJ over the course of this past offseason, I think speaks to the idea that college football fans find a way for hope to always spring eternal. But we had 2 years' worth of data to suggest that DJ is not a good quarterback. And I don't say that with, like, any, like, joy in my he's just not a good quarterback. And, like, when you have a bad quarterback and a weaker roster than you had a year ago, it's not going to go well for you always. And what is playing out for Florida State right now through the first 2 weeks is actually fairly easy to predict just on the basis of the fact that this roster is not what it was last year.
I've talked myself into way worse quarterbacks than DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, I mean, we all have probably. We can probably all convince ourselves of a lot, but DJ just may be the latest example of that.
Hey, obviously the number one best thing that happened for you and Georgia fans on Saturday was the win over Clemson. How close of a number two was what happened in Gainesville?
I just can't believe how much this is just a gift that keeps on giving. And I know I'm spiteful, and I'm not very sophisticated about stuff like this. I love seeing their misery, and I like Billy Napier cannot figure out how to get out of this. He's just digging himself a bigger hole week after week. He's attacking their rural fans yesterday. Did y'all see the video? He could not get the water bottle open. At a certain point in time, I had to stop watching that video because my sides were hurting so bad from, because if you watch, I think it's, eight total torques.
Yeah.
And, the eighth one, now he's, really going to get it, and he still can't get it. And so he has to put the water bottle back down, in defeat. I can't stop watching that. He's so in over his head. This is, the fourth failed Florida coach in a row. It really is. To think that you see Georgia – because nobody likes the noon start, right? But the benefit of the noon start is is that once your team takes care of its business, you can settle in and watch everybody else. Yep. And when you roll on a TV window right from Georgia dominating Clemson to Florida just getting their teeth kicked in their own stadium, knowing that this loss, as bad as it was, they may lose 10 times this year. Like, that's really good entertainment. It just really is.
Just the joy in your voice. You're a sick man, Brandon. I don't disagree because I feel the same way about my rival, but I love hearing it. B.A., thank you.
What makes college football great?
Damn right. Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.